All right, what is up, everybody? Thanks for tuning in to episode 5 of Ant and Big Red versus the World. I am Big Red, as always.
And I'm Average Ant, as occasionally.
As occasionally for the podcast. And we got a pretty decent little show here. We are 1 week into the NFL season. We're going to do a little rundown of our awards predictions. Pretty early, obviously, but got us some games under the belt, gave us a little chance to see what this year might be like. Then we're going to talk a little bit about some cool stuff that Roger Goodell is doing, positive things for social injustice, believe it or not, as many memes as there are about Roger Goodell. And then lastly, we're going to talk a little bit about the Storm and some pretty sweet things that they did the last few days. So with that, we'll get right into the NFL awards, and you can start us off wherever you want.
All right, so I guess we'll go in order of what I feel like is least important to most important, because obviously the people want to hear the MVP last, so we'll keep that last, and I'll start it with Coach of the Year. We'll keep it short. I got Mike Zimmer for the Vikings. I guess I just think the Vikings are going to not necessarily take over the league, but be a one or two seed in the NFC. And, I mean, top seed, or I guess it's not seed, but top team, top coach. It's easy.
Yeah, I buy that. And I agree. I think that the Vikings, I could easily see them taking over. As good as their defense is, I mean, I think Kirk Cousins is a slight upgrade over Case Keenum.
For sure.
Not to disrespect his year or anything, but Kirk Cousins has been doing it a little bit longer. There's less risk of like a flash in the pan. I mean, Keenum threw 3 touchdowns against the Seahawks this last week, but he also threw 3 picks. And so, I mean, I feel like Case Keenum last year was as good as you're ever going to see Case Keenum. Where I feel like Kirk Cousins has had similar numbers with arguably less talent and overall offensive firepower in Washington in the past few years. I could definitely see him doing as good or better as he always has, and then the Vikings winning 13 games and being the number one seed. And I think that would be kind of tough to pry away from Mike Zimmer when you're that dominant. But that is not who I chose. My coach of the year was kind of on the opposite end. It's going with probably a less likely pick, I guess. It's Bill O'Brien, the Texans. I'm banking a lot on a big comeback year for Deshaun Watson and the Texans, and J.J. Watt as well. With J.J. Watt back, I mean, the Texans' defense was awful last year, and getting J.J. Watt back and Whitney Merciless, I think the Texans' defense is actually going to be decent, and with the way Deshaun Watson played last year, if he's anywhere near that level, week one aside, Patriots supposedly have a good defense this year, I guess, whatever. Deshaun Watson, he's still going to be good, and I think he's still going to be a great player. And the Texans, I think, could take the 4 wins with the offensive firepower they have and a slightly better defense turned it into 10 or 11 wins. And I don't know, when you take a team from the bottom to the playoffs and probably having a shot to compete there by the end of the year, to me, that's a big candidate for Coach of the Year is Bill O'Brien.
Yeah, for sure. I could definitely see the Texans actually taking over the – not necessarily taking it over, but – being a top team in the AFC. The AFC has not been the strongest of the two conferences the last few years, so I definitely think that they can take it over and make a name for themselves. And staying on the Texans, the next award that I have is Comeback Player of the Year, and that is going to, the prediction is going to Deshaun Watson, quarterback. Like you said, you're banking on a good comeback season from him for the Texans and whatnot, and obviously I am too, since week 2 podcast Adam, I think it was top 3 quarterbacks. But yeah, it kind of this one was a little bit of debate for me whether or not he'd be a comeback player, considering he only played a handful of games and he was a rookie. But I don't know, the story's there, the narrative is there, so I definitely feel like he'll be able to win it.
Yeah, I mean, I agree in terms of that he's going to have a great year and it will be somewhat of a comeback year. I think it's, I'm not sure that narrative is going to play out in that way because he did play a few games and was absolutely dominant for a rookie and was putting up ridiculous numbers, but he played a few games, so I mean, it's, I don't think he's going to put up better numbers than he had before. So to me, it's kind of like, yes, he came back from an injury and he's playing great football, but I mean, it's not like he got hurt in week one and was out like the whole year. And so I guess that's my biggest drawback to that and why I don't really, he could win it. Absolutely, he's a candidate, but I don't think he's going to. This was actually a really tough one for me, because there are a lot of guys like that. I mean, Carson Wentz went down late, so obviously you can't include him. But I mean, there's a lot of a lot of season-ending injuries to league stars. I mean, J.J. Watt went down on the same Texans team, and J.J. Watt was perennially viewed as best defensive player in the league.
MVP candidate too.
Yeah, as a defensive player, and he misses an entire season. I mean, he's come back-to-back seasons just riddled with injuries, and so if he can stay healthy, he could have a huge shot at comeback player of the year. Or there's David Johnson on the Cardinals, who got hurt super early and was well on his way to being one of the best running backs in the league, hands down. So kind of for me, it's a toss-up between those guys. So it is really hard for me to decide. If I had to pick one, I guess my safer pick would be David Johnson. I just think he's going to have to carry the load for the Cardinals. He's going to put up great numbers, and I think, personally, I think that he has a better chance of actually staying healthy for the entire year than J.J. Watt does. And so because of that, David Johnson's going to be churning out receiving and rushing numbers for the Cardinals all year and going to be the driving force that probably leads them to like an 8-8 season or 7-9 because Sam Bradford and the Cardinals aren't going to be good, but David Johnson is still going to be an
Yeah,
excellent running back.
the opportunity is definitely there for David Johnson to win comeback player of the year. Like you said, he got hurt super early, and where I don't see J.J. Watt winning it is I don't think he'd be able to stay healthy for a whole season. I mean, he's a defensive player, plays super physical, and he's not necessarily old, but he is getting older, and he already has those miles on his body, so
He's
But yeah,
injury
I can't
prone.
really disagree much on the David Johnson pick. I mean, he definitely can win it, so.
Yeah, I mean that's the thing is like
Yeah, for sure.
there's just so many options. I mean I'm not going to be mad if anyone wins it. Deshaun Watson wins it, fine. J.J. Watt wins it, awesome. David Johnson wins it, sweet, I was right.
All right, so moving on to the next award, I got Defensive Rookie of the Year, and I'll let you go first on who you decide to pick.
So defensive rookie of the year. It's kind of a tough one for me as well, but less because I feel like there's so many great candidates and more because I don't have a ton of knowledge on the defensive draft class, honestly. I mean, there's some big names out there and I went with one of them. I mean, I really feel like this early on, you can kind of pick between a couple guys that are going to put up counting numbers. So you have to kind of avoid cornerbacks and safeties because the ways they win it is by getting tons of interceptions, and that typically isn't, I mean, I shouldn't say typically isn't, but a lot of times you're a rookie defensive back, you're not going to come in and pick off seven passes and take the league by storm. So with that, I'm going to go with Roquan Smith, linebacker for the Chicago Bears. On an already fairly decent Bears defense, I think that having just a force in the middle, stop and run, can create pressure, is solid in pass coverage. That's going to be a lot of counting stats in terms of tackles. Roquan Smith could lead the Bears in tackles as a rookie. And a rookie that leads your team in tackles of a defense that's probably going to be around 20 to 24 points a game given up. I mean, that's you could call that elite. And out of a rookie, I mean, that's to me, that's got to be
sure.
Defensive rookie of the year.
Raekwon, however you say it, Rogue One. it was definitely a toss-up between him and who I ended up deciding to go with, just because their situations are very similar in my eyes. Like you were saying, Roquan is on a pretty good Bears defense, and especially with Khalil Mack now, you're going to have to double-team one of them, and I definitely would lean more towards double-teaming Khalil Mack, so that leaves a lot of opportunity for Roquan to get his tackles and sacks in. But for that reason, I decided to go with Bradley Chubb on the Denver Broncos because the Broncos' defense is better and there's more threats in terms of rushing-wise. And their biggest threat, obviously, a guy named Von Miller. So you're definitely going to have to be double-teaming him, so that's going to leave a lot of opportunities for Bradley Chubb to be getting his tackles in and his sacks in and all that.
Yeah, and, I mean, Bradley Chubb, I mean, we're pretty much the same, just flip-flopped. I mean, it came down to those two guys, and like you said, with Von Miller on the other side, you're not going to block Von Miller with one guy. And if you are, then you're probably the head coach of the Seahawks and like to see Russell Wilson get punished. Von Miller requires two defenders to stop him. He just does. He's that elite. He's an insanely good pass rusher. And so that frees up Bradley Chubb. Put up 10 sacks as a rookie, which is crazy. And if he does that, okay. I mean, Roquan, tons of tackles, doesn't matter. I mean, Bradley Chubb would take it home. But I don't know. I'm kind of going dark horse here with Roquan Smith. I like what the Bears defense is.
I wouldn't be mad if you won it. Moving on to the other, or I guess there's two more rookie awards, but to the offensive rookie of the year, I guess I'll start off. I'm going Saquon. I feel like it's just his award to lose. Sam Darnold, he'll probably put up good numbers and whatnot, but I definitely think that Saquon, especially on the Giants offense, you got an old Eli Manning as your quarterback, so you're going to put a lot of money on that run game, and he's going to get a ton of carries. He's going to put up a ton of yards, so I'm going with Saquon.
Yeah, and I mean, yeah, Saquon is – he's got to be the early favorite. Is not my pick, but I, as I sit here and think about Saquon, I mean, it's probably more just to be contrary, because Saquon is in the best position in Eli Manning is over the hill. He's declining, but he's still a Super Bowl winning quarterback.
Yeah, he's not like Joe Flacco.
He's not tasked. Oh God, he is not tasked with just absolutely carrying the team. So he has Odell and Eli to kind of what should create a balanced attack in New York. The offensive line is garbo, so it might not, but. It's the best opportunity that Saquon could have gotten out of the draft, honestly. And like you said, it's his award to lose, but I think he will lose it. And I think he's going to lose it to Sam Darnold. I mean, if you look at week one, so Darnold earned that starting job. They traded Teddy Bridgewater and were like, here's the reins. You're going to be our quarterback of the future. Do it now. He doesn't have a ton of weapons. But, I mean, he has some solid athleticism in Quincy Enunwa and even Terrell Pryor trying to make his weird comeback after, like, the worst year ever last year, which didn't really make any sense to me going to a better team. But I I know Detroit's defense is garbage, but if that first game of the season was any indication, I mean, Darnold was 16 of 21 for 200 yards, two touchdowns, and yes, he had a pick. He's a rookie. Mm-hmm. He's going to throw picks. He's going to throw a lot of them, but I think he could be around 20, 25 touchdowns. Just because the Jets will probably be trailing in a few games and they don't necessarily have a great running back to lean on. So I think if Darnold can keep stepping up and have solid numbers, there's a lot of quarterback bias in terms of how valuable it is to the team and award winning. So if Sam Darnold puts up a solid year, I think there's going to be a lot of voters tempted to make him the rookie of the year or offensive rookie of the year. I mean, to me, it's they're the same. I mean, they're going to be the same. It's unless you have some defensive freak like Bradley Chubb sacks 14 guys. Okay, he probably wins rookie of the year and defensive rookie of the year. But
both guys are going to have their opportunity to put up the numbers that they need to win the award. And like you said, Sam Darnold can definitely put up 20 to 25 touchdowns. His picks, I don't think they're going to be super high for a rookie. I mean, his first pass ever as a quarterback was a interception, but I mean, after that, he seemed to settle down and get a little more comfortable. And I definitely think that he's easily in the running for offensive rookie of the year. And I guess we'll just touch on rookie of the year as we're on this one, since it's, like you said, it's the same one. So, I mean, I got Saquon for both. If you have Sam,
it's the same. Yeah, I mean, yeah, exactly. I have Sam Darnold for both. I mean, it's there. Yeah. So, I mean, unless we want to go super dark horse and go Rogue One Smith or Bradley Chubb, or I don't. I mean, they're the same. That's just how it's gonna go.
So, moving on from the second tier awards, or I guess those are third tier. I guess I would say. Let's move on to the second tier with Defensive Player of the Year. Who's your pick?
Defensive Player of the Year, that second tier, we can get into the actual superstars of the league. I have Aaron Donald. I think he should have won it last year, honestly. I mean, that dude is he's an insane run stopper and pass rusher. I might be a little biased because I watch him and the Rams defense just abuse the Seahawks offensive line every time they play. But at the end of the day, Aaron Donald, who just signed a massive contract and deservedly so, I think it's finally his time. He's been consistently healthy in his career, and he's just a dominant force that is going to lead what should be a solid Rams unit that had a good showing against the Raiders in week one. Sorry, Ant. But yeah, I think it's
Aaron
Donald.
Where you're coming from. But I'm going with Joey Bosa for the Los Angeles the Chargers.
Okay.
I don't know. He had a great year last year. And I think he's just going to take it to another level, leading a Chargers defense that could be top tier this year, could not be. But it's looking like it might be an elite-ish level defense. So him leading that defense, like the Defensive Player of the Year tends to go, not every time, but tends to go to the leader of a defense that's pretty good. So I think he's just going to take that next step and lead the Chargers maybe to the playoffs. I think I want to say playoffs, but
I'm going to Joey Bosa. Yeah, and I mean, I think we're kind of in the same category. I mean, the Defensive Player of the Year for defensive players, I mean, it sucks for defensive backs, but like I would like to pick somebody like Jalen Ramsey or something, because I think that he is just disgusting. He'll shut down any receiver, and he's already told all of us how trash he thinks majority of the quarterbacks are in the league. But I mean, you're not going to get counting stats, and you're not going to win Defensive Player of the Year for the fact that no quarterback wants to throw at you. it's really rare. The last defensive back to win Defensive Player of the Year was Charles Woodson. And I mean,
you have to be putting up the Charles Woodson.
Yeah, he's a Hall of Famer.
You gotta get your pick to sack ratio pretty even to get that.
Yeah, I mean, and when you're a corner that's lights out, I mean, you're not gonna get thrown to you very much, so you're not gonna get interceptions and things like that. So it's guys that get counting stats like Aaron Donald, and sacks and tackles, and Joey Bosa and sacks and tackles that jump off the page, and it's like, oh, he's generating pass rush, he's generating run stops and this and that, and that's what helps the team, and that's what I can tangibly see. And so because of that, I think Joey Bosa or Aaron Donald could win it, but I just think Donald is too dominant of a force. Joey Bosa's definitely got a ton of athleticism and potential to be a force like that, but I think it's just Aaron Donald's
for
time.
Sure, I mean, he would be delivering on that, whatever, how much did he get, 90 mil? Something like that. He would be delivering on that contract if he won Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah, I mean, that would make it worth it right off of the bat, especially if the Rams actually make it past the first second round.
All right, so I guess that brings us to Offensive Player of the Year. This one for me was kind of like, I don't know, iffy. I feel like it could go to a number of guys for sure. I ended up picking Antonio Brown from the Steelers, just because he's definitely going to have to lead that offense, especially with Le'Veon Bell, with this holdout and whatever. And when he eventually comes back, I don't think he's going to be as effective as he was last season, just because he was like holding out and not on the field and whatever. But Big Ben is older. And
yeah,
he's still Big Ben, but I mean, he needs a lot more help from his receivers than he used to. So I definitely think Antonio Brown's going to be able to put up the catches, touchdowns, yards, and also put in some special team stats too that might sway it his way. So, I mean, I know special teams is obviously not offense, but I mean, it could create some bias for him to get some votes.
Yeah, I mean, all it takes is a couple touchdowns on some returns, and I mean, then he's near the top of the league in that, and that's going to be included too. And so, I mean, me personally, I'm staying with the Rams. Todd Gurley. And I almost hate to say it because I love Antonio Brown. I think he's the best receiver in the league. I think he's the best receiver in the league every year.
Yeah.
Especially since like guy like Calvin Johnson retired. And to be quite honest, Antonio Brown could be a Offensive Player of the Year MVP candidate almost every year just because of the consistency and numbers. He's just year in and year out, he's just so good. And I mean personally I would love to see him win it. If he wins it, awesome. I don't think he's going to. I think similar to like a Chris Sale, yeah, always up at the top, never taking it home kind of thing. It's like, if Antonio Brown hasn't won it at this point, like, what does the dude have to do? He always leads the league in catches. He's been in tops in yards, and he's up there. I think I saw in an article the other day, Antonio Brown leads the league in touchdowns since, like, 2012 to 2017 or something like that. And the next closest is Doug Baldwin.
Hey, shout out to Doug
like
Baldwin.
10 or, like 10 or so behind. Yeah, right? Doug Baldwin's the homie. But no, yeah, I would love to see Antonio Brown win it, but I think it's going to be Todd Gurley. He's going to be the focal point of a once again lethal offensive attack for the Rams. We've talked about my opinions on Jared Goff a little bit before, and so I don't think Jared Goff is going to take over games, which he doesn't have to because he has arguably the best running back in the league in Todd Gurley. And on an offense that good, your best player is going to put up ridiculous numbers. He's going to lead. I think he'll lead the league in rushing. I think he will lead the league in rushing touchdowns, and that'll be enough to give him offensive player of the year.
Yeah, I guess I definitely was considering Todd Gurley. It was between Antonio Brown and Todd Gurley for me. But where I don't see Todd Gurley winning it is the year he had last year. I just can't really see him really improving on that and taking another step forward. I mean, it was like the year he had last year was ridiculous. So, I mean, like having that year, I mean, even putting up identical numbers to what he had last year, I don't think we'll win it just because I think Antonio Brown will be putting up that good of numbers as well. So.
Yeah, and I mean there's it can get stale. I mean, when you put up, I don't know, you think about a, like a guy that perennially puts up ridiculously good numbers like Mike Trout, and it's almost like,
Yeah, for
I'm
sure.
not saying Todd Gurley is Mike Trout-esque of the NFL, but like you put up really, really good numbers, and it at a
Yeah,
point it
that's a
kind of becomes
standard.
like, oh, that's just Mike Trout doing Mike Trout things. Yeah, and so in order to take a leap to win an Offensive Player of the Year or an MVP after having such ridiculously good years, you have to really step up and do something. And so I kind of believe that, but I think that both players are kind of in the same boat. So it's going to come down to which one steps up better. If Big Ben has a good year,
Yeah, for sure.
Antonio Brown very well could
All
snatch it.
right, so let's move on to the one that everybody's been waiting for. Hopefully, if you're still listening, is the MVP award. I guess I'll let you go first on this, Jake.
Well, yeah, you can let me go first because it's gonna be no surprise to anybody. It's gonna be Aaron Rodgers. I mean, that's just the way it is. If you can look me in the eyes and tell me that Aaron Rodgers is going to play a 16 game season and he's not going to put up the best quarterback numbers in the league, I might check you into a hospital or something. Maybe you got hit in the head. I don't know. The dude is the most talented quarterback of all time. We talked about it in fantasy. And I mean, a prime example, Aaron Rodgers busts his knee in the second quarter of the Bears game on Monday. The Bears are making the Packers look silly. Aaron Rodgers didn't look very good in the first half. He comes back, hobbled, throws three touchdowns, leads the Bears, or leads the Packers over the Bears, in the last minute drive to win it. Three touchdowns, 286 yards. He only threw 10 incompletions. He's going to throw less than 10 interceptions this year, and if he's healthy all year, he's probably going to throw around 40 touchdowns. MVP always goes to a quarterback. Whether that's fair or not, it does. And if, as long as Aaron Rodgers is leading the Packers, their playoff team, he is the most valuable player on the Packers by far. Without Aaron
Yeah,
Rodgers,
for
the
sure.
Packers are irrelevant the last 5 or 6 years. And so to me, most valuable player is always going to be Aaron Rodgers, and he backs it up with arguably the best numbers in the league all the time. I mean, my next step would probably be Tom Brady, just because the Patriots are always really, really good, and you know the Patriots are probably going to be 12 or 13 game winners, and Tom Brady's going to have another solid season. But it's got to be Aaron Rodgers if that guy stays healthy, which I think he will. The rest of this year, I guess he's already off to a bad start, but
Yeah, I
it's
mean,
got to be Aaron Rodgers for me.
obviously the MVP doesn't literally mean the most valuable player, or else it would, like, there's nobody more valuable in the league than Aaron Rodgers, like you're saying. He's the only reason why the Packers have been relevant for X amount of years. So, I guess I was sitting
Yeah.
in at Burger King on my lunch today. Sitting there with on Google Docs wanting to type Aaron Rodgers in on my list, but I just couldn't just because I don't think he's gonna be healthy for a whole 16 games. I mean, the la like he just has the track record of not being healthy. I mean, if he stays healthy for 16 games, then I definitely
True.
think he's a shoo-in for MVP, but I just don't see that happening. So I had to go with Drew Brees. Some might say it's a dark horse, some may not, I don't know. But he is up there in age. He's 39, I think. But I just think he's gonna have one of his classic Drew Brees seasons, 5,000 yards, all that. I think he's gonna get his touchdowns up a little bit from last year. He has the offensive weapons to put up the monster stats that he needs to win MVP and to get the touchdowns he needs. I mean, he's a smart quarterback. He's not going to throw a ton of interceptions. His completion percentage is going to be super high as always. And I think the Saints are definitely going to take a little bit of a jump from last year and be serious contenders for a Super Bowl title. So I definitely think Drew Brees leading that team will give him the MVP.
Yeah, I'd like to see Drew Brees win it. That would be cool. He's not going to. I agree that his touchdown numbers might go up. He's probably going to put up another 4,500 to 5,000 yard season because he does every year, like you said. He'll probably throw a few more touchdowns, especially since Alvin Kamara is going to be the lead back for a while with Ingram's suspension. Not that Kamara wouldn't be anyway, but it's only Kamara right now. And so that's a lot more opportunities for receiving touchdowns for if a guy's playing 90% of the snaps for an offense. And they're going to want to pass more with Kamara on the field. So yeah, if Drew Brees leads the league in touchdowns, there's a tongue twister for you. And he puts up his other similar numbers, yeah, he's going to definitely be an MVP candidate. I guess the biggest thing that holds me back is I'm not so sure how good the Saints are going to be this year. I mean, they just gave up like a 400-yard game, 4-touchdown performance to Ryan Fitzpatrick and the Buccaneers. So.
Yeah.
Fitzmagic, yeah, obviously. But, you know, the Tampa Bay Bucs are about to go 16-0 aside. He plays in the same division.
Yeah.
As a lot of good defenses, including Carolina and the Falcons, arguably, as well. And so in the really difficult NFC field in general, I don't know. I just don't know if I see the Saints being better than the Packers. I think in a head-to-head matchup, I'm actually not even sure if they play this year, but I think in a head-to-head matchup, if the Packers played the Saints, the Packers would win, and Aaron Rodgers would outperform Drew Brees. And yeah, but I mean it is health. If Aaron Rodgers gets hurt, yeah, my prediction is shot. Whatever.
Yeah, I mean I definitely wanted to go Aaron Rodgers on this, but. I just don't think he's going to be healthy for a full season. So, like you said, health. I mean,
yeah,
that's all it comes down to for Aaron Rodgers and his MVP.
And I mean, it always does. I mean, the dude is all-world quarterback, arguably the greatest of all time, talent-wise. But does have a track record of not being healthy, and I think that's cost the Packers Super Bowls and Aaron Rodgers hardware.
Well, with our NFL predictions out of the way, we'll transition to another NFL story. It's somewhat of a feel-good story. I don't know how else I would describe it.
Feel-good story. I mean, it's definitely a positive thing for, I mean, just the States and the NFL.
Yeah, and so that being said, if you don't know, Roger Goodell is now taking an official stance to try to back up not the protests that the players were having, but the cause. He's supporting the cause of social injustice. So I'll let Big Red give his take a little bit on this before I chime in.
So I mean, for those of you that don't know, they're put together by Anquan Boldin. Another guy is something called the Players Coalition, which is a group that works to fight social injustice, not just in the NFL, but all around the world, really. And it is a relatively new, recent group, but it's done a lot of good to help vocalize social issues and injustices, as well as supporting programs and things that helps rehabilitate criminals, create more equality and equity on racial issues, things like that. And so they've been putting together some listen and learn events. The first one was last year in Philadelphia. Roger Goodell attended that one as well. And they've had several others, some in Baltimore, Boston, I believe. But this article and story that we're kind of talking about is there was an event in New Orleans, a listen and learn event that Roger Goodell attended, really no media like interest at all. He didn't go there to show that, yes, I'm here supporting a thing. He went there, stayed there for about 9 hours, I read in the article, in the courthouse in New Orleans, to support this cause. And I mean, it's a listen and learn event. So Roger Goodell was literally there to hear the issues, and different ex-players, political figures, things like that, and their opinions, on these social issues. And I think that is just, I mean, it's phenomenal. As many jokes and memes and things are out, and what a joke a lot of people believe Roger Goodell is, to see the commissioner of the NFL at an event for racial injustice and social inequality is a major stepping point for the Players Coalition, their organization, as well as just getting the word out on social issues.
Yeah, this is definitely something super cool that Goodell did. Like you said, he wasn't there for any media attention or anything. He wasn't there just to be there. He was there because he wanted to be there and was actually taking part in what was going on. So I think this is good for three reasons. The first reason is it's good for the league, first of all. I mean, the league hasn't been more separated in terms of the players, the owners, and the commissioner than it has been in the last few years with things like Deflategate and all these suspensions and stuff. So, I mean, it definitely makes the league look more unified, and it seems like Roger Goodell is actually trying to make strides to being more unified with the players and listening to them and their needs and whatever. The Saints owner was also there too, so that's the three like levels that have always been separated, that were together in the same room, taking part in the same event, actually interested in what was going on and trying to make things better for people, not just in the NFL, but people that are live in the places where the NFL players are from. So the second reason why this is good is for Roger Goodell himself. Like you said, there's a lot of memes about Goodell. I mean, Goodell bot from South Park, all that. It's funny, but it definitely, I mean, it takes him off the hot seat a little bit. It gives him a little bit more job security, especially after last year when the NFL donated $90 million to help fight social injustice. That was huge in terms of him not only keeping his job, but also being more well-liked amongst the players and NFL fans in general. And the third reason why I like this is because it's funny. Like, I think it's super funny for all the people who are super against like the players' protests that happened last year. Like, I mean, they're not doing it again this year, but I mean, for the commissioner, all the players and the owners to be on one side of the fence, like together, and then you got like racist Billy Joe over here talking about how these players need to stand and whatever. I think it's funny that Goodell took a stand on that and sides with the players and isn't telling them to just stick to football. So I think that's really good for everybody involved in this.
Yeah, I 100% agree on all those fronts. I mean, the $90 million to support social justice. I mean, I think a lot of people that knew about it kind of viewed it as like, oh, the NFL is just trying to buy their way back in good graces. But I think that this alone is a big, like, it's a big thing against that kind of thought process. It's Roger Goodell going out of his way, spending hours and hours at a courthouse where he's not controlling anything. He is literally there to listen and support. And I mean, to that end, there's a quote from Roger Goodell that says, "Bringing awareness is great, but what can we do to make an impact? What can I do to make an impact? And so, I mean, to that end, you're the commissioner of the NFL, and you're sitting at this relatively new groups meeting fighting social injustice, and you hold a ton of power, and to be at an event that stands on the side of racial justice as the commissioner of the NFL is huge. Now, that's not to say it's not still really weird that he's here doing something like this and still fully-fledged fighting a collusion lawsuit that Colin Kaepernick yeah. has filed against the NFL. This doesn't immediately absolve Roger Goodell yeah. of everything. Like, it's not like, oh, Roger Goodell has been a saint the whole time. He's completely supported racial justice and issues like that. But it is a big step, and to go out of his way and do something like this, he can be a major asset for the Players Coalition and for the fight against social injustices. Yeah. He can use his platform to bring awareness of the issues, and also, if he incorporates the NFL into some of these programs and things, it's going to take a lot of attention away from the ignorance that surrounds people in the protest, because a lot of people just think you're kneeling for the flag, you're doing these protests. I think a lot of people have a hard time seeing the bigger picture and what it actually means. And so if Roger Goodell takes the NFL and uses this to bring more awareness and actually make an impact, like he's already stated that he wants to, it's going to be huge for both the Players Coalition in general and as they make their way to become a bigger organization, and it'll be huge for lessening that divide between the players, owners, and everything like that, like you were saying.
Yeah, I mean, it's super dope. Like you were saying, it doesn't free him of all his past charges, but it definitely shows where his intentions are as of now and what seems to be moving forward. So shout out to Roger Goodell for that. So
yeah, for real. I mean, Goodell bought aside, he might actually be a pretty good guy.
Yeah, we'll have to wait for that, I guess.
All right, so last thing, it's really just kind of a little shout out, rep the city. The Seattle Storm just won their third WNBA championship. I mean, we kind of talked about this before. We kind of knew it was coming. I mean, the Mystics were good and all, but Sue Bird and Breanna Stewart, MVP of the league, the Mystics just weren't a match. They got swept in three games. Only one of them was really close. It's 75-73 in game two.
Yeah, I think it's super funny how the NBA finals and the WNBA finals like turn out to be the same. I guess the playoffs in general, like the Eastern and Western Conference finals between the Rockets and Warriors and Cavs and Celtics were really close, just like the WNBA was. But then in both finals, it's a sweep.
You get to the finals, yeah.
And like not even any close game.
Yeah, you're not wrong. Yeah, that semifinal series for the Storm was intense. I mean, going to game five and Sue Bird putting up 14 points on 4 3-pointers in the fourth quarter, like that's a veteran taking over.
Yeah, well, shout out to the Storm bringing a championship to Seattle, because odds are probably not getting one from any of the men's teams anytime soon unless the Sounders come through again.
Yeah. Go women power right now. Rep the city. They're most successful franchise in Seattle history, so I'm about it. I wasn't really a big WNBA fan in general, but I mean you can't help but rep the city and watch the Storm and watch them do well. I mean, we had the MVP of the league and Breanna Stewart, who averaged nearly 26 points a game on her way to finals MVP, by the way. Shout out to Storm.
All right, so that's all we got for you guys for this week. Stay tuned for next week. We may or may not be having our first guest on the podcast, so it's a reason for you guys to tune in next week.
Yeah, you are going to want to hear our guest that may or may not be on there. Thanks for listening, guys.
Peace.